This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
I was thinking, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the last thing they want is transparency. They don't want you to hear their conversations. I guess they don't think you're adult enough, because they kept saying, we'll debate this in private. We'll debate this in private. The truth is, they just don't want the wall, and they don't want you to know that, because it's very, well, it's not politically expedient. So here's the deal. The Democrats want to see Donald Trump be a one-term president. They want to achieve that based on 3 fronts. Obviously, the first front is their Russian collusion campaign finance violation fantasy fairy tale. And they know that, so they're hoping for the other 2 things to come true. The idea they're going to remove him based on anything Mueller says or this nonsense with regards to a payoff to Stormy Daniels to keep her silent, it's not going to work. So they're hoping for a recession. There's a lot of bad economic news out there, a lot of bad economic projections. Stock market, it's not going to be a good year after all. And it turns out, you know, these indicators are there. But that's problematic for them, too, because like today, for example, China announced they're cutting down on tariffs against U.S. auto imports. So that's bad news for them as well. And, you know, a lot of industries are doing very well in states that Democrats would need to win in 2020 to get the White House. The coal industry, manufacturing, auto to a degree, although obviously with GM, that's more complicated. But then the third thing they want to do is they want to be able to tell voters, hey, he wasn't able to deliver the wall. This guy is just another politician like everybody else. He had his chance, but he couldn't get it done. That's what they really want to accomplish, you see. The whole thing about the wall, because remember something, a lot of the Democrats, they supported the wall in the past. They were in on it years ago. They talked about it. They voted for funding for it. What's changed? Well, obviously, the base of the Democratic Party has gotten even wackier. There's no question about that. So that's changed. They've gone very, very ultra-left, ultra-lefty, ultra-left-left-left progressive. But also what's changed is that they see this is the area where they can drive people who are very loyal to Donald Trump away from Donald Trump. For example, they look at Ann Coulter's tweets. Ann Coulter tweeting out today, does he think his supporters are dumb? Lashing out at Trump. Even a Washington Post reporter knows that not 1 inch of Trump's wall has been built. Does Trump think his supporters are dumber than a Washington Post reporter? And I got an email yesterday from a guy who says he's an ex-listener. He's not listening anymore because it's too much. The politics of it all, it's too much. Anyway, I'm sure he's listening right now. But regardless, he said, if there's no wall by 2020, I'm out. I won't vote Democrat, but I'll just sit home and vote. I won't vote. I'll just sit home. Okay. I've heard that from other people, too. If the wall's not built by 2020, or if there's not a real effort underway to build the wall by 2020, they're out. They're off the proverbial Trump train at that point. Now, it may not be you, and it may not be the person next to you, but if it's 10,000 people here and 10,000 people there, and some of these states are close, and if the economy is not doing bang-up business by the time November 2020 rolls around, because you can't predict the future, well, that's where you get into some real electoral problems. It doesn't take much. You're talking about 80,000 votes in a state, couple states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, these states that are going to matter, Florida. And if it's close and 10,000 people stay home in this state or that state because they're just annoyed that the wall was never built and the economy's not doing gangbusters, and you just don't know, right? So what you want to do is you want to ensure that doesn't happen by delivering on the major promise of the campaign, which was the wall. Now, I'm not going to be one of those voters, obviously. That's not my big issue. But there are a lot of voters, it was their issue. It was their core issue. Mine was the courts. It was my issue. Everybody has their own issue. So for me, if the wall's never built, you're not going to get me to stay home or vote for a Democrat in 2020 because of that. What would get me was if tomorrow the president started appointing liberal judges. That's what would do it for me. But luckily, that hasn't happened. Now, there are other people who say, well, you know, look, he's trying to get the wall done, but the Democrats won't let him do it. Well, to that end, they're going to turn around and say, hey, look, you had 2 years of the Republican control of Congress. He couldn't get it done. Now, maybe you won't stay home, and maybe I won't stay home, but if there's enough people, and we're not talking about a lot, under 100,000 people that stay home because of the wall not being built, that gets a little bit tricky there. This is what Democrats are banking on. I know it's been said that they don't want the wall built because their base doesn't want it, but that's true, but their base isn't going anywhere. Let's be honest. Their base is going to be with them no matter what. The wacky, kooky Brooklyn, San Francisco base, where are they going? Where are they going in 2020? No matter who the Democrat candidate is, they're going to vote for that person, for the most part, to stop Trump. Now, maybe in 2016 they sat home because they thought Hillary Clinton was a lock and they wanted to send a message that they were annoyed because Bernie was cheated, so they decided to stay home. Maybe so, but they thought she was a lock. 2020 is going to be a whole different story. So whether it's crazy Cory Booker, Spartacus, Count Grantstangelo, and the Tears of Rage Band, or it's Kamala Harris, or it's former Native American Elizabeth Warren, or somebody else, they're coming out to vote, no matter what. So when they say, and you know, I heard some other people say today, well, the base doesn't want the wall. That's true. The base has never wanted the wall. It hasn't stopped Democrats from voting for the wall and voting for funding for the wall in the past. What's changed now is that there are political operatives who are coming to these people, the Democrats, and saying, here's the deal. If this wall's not built by 2020, then Donald Trump has political problems. So no matter what it takes, you gotta stop the wall from being built. Now, there's a problem with that. The president could use other means to get his wall built, using funding that's been allocated for different resources. That's a possibility he may do, in which case then the Democrats look irrelevant. The Democrats, though, of course, are going to try to impeach him for something. They may add that to the list of the articles of impeachment. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea. But the impeachment thing is a non-starter for them. The other problem for Democrats in the wall issue is that there are a number of voters who are swing voters who may vote for Democrats, may have voted for Democrats in the past, and may vote Democrat again if they don't have a kooky nut job person on the top of the ticket. Problem for them is, though, the odds of them not having a kooky nut job on the top of the ticket are slim because of the environment. You know, if you look at the base of a party, you think of it in terms of a layer cake, as Dick Morris used to say. There's that environmental group, the people that for them climate change is everything. They want to hear you're going to declare war on coal and you're going to shut it down. And you're going to raise fuel standards, CAFE standards, to 175 miles to the gallon, or they're not voting for you. So to win over that base, you have to be basically anti-job. You've got to be anti-manufacturing. You've got to be anti-coal. But at the same time, you have to also be for the $15 minimum wage, because that progressive wing of the base, too, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing, Medicare for All, you got to have that, too. So for a lot of the voters, they may just say in 2020, I'm out. I'm staying home. I don't want nothing to do with it. Like the person who emailed me yesterday. Now, again, it may not be you. You may say it's irrelevant to me. I'm coming out. Doesn't matter. Fine. But you're not everybody. And I'm not everybody. And that's what they're banking on. So, well, you may not go out and vote for a nut job in 2020. I certainly won't either. But maybe you'll stay home, or maybe somebody next to you will stay home. That's their strategy. For Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they have to do whatever it takes to stop this wall from being built. If that wall is built, then the president has delivered on a major campaign promise. If it's not built, he can blame people. He can say, well, the Democrats are going to get it done. The Republicans who get it done could not get it done. And that may work with some people. But for other people, they're going to say, listen, I thought you were different. I thought you could get it done. You could make deals. I thought you'd get it done no matter what. So I don't want to hear excuses. You brought up the fact that politicians always make excuses. I want to see results. And for them, they may stay home. Now, it's very, very possible that the argument that it's been stopped by Democrats may work. Trump is very good at having a foil, and we can't predict the future, and we don't know. But if you're plotting out a 2020 path to the White House, if you're looking at it from that perspective, and you're saying, how do we get here? What are the states we have to win? What are the states we have to win? And you look at the electoral map and you think to yourself, well, if we can just in these places turn down turnout by 10%, 20%, just turn it down, we have a shot. Of course, we don't know who the candidate's going to be and all of that could change. But that's what the strategy is right now. So there's Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in the Oval Office sparring with the president over votes in the House for the border wall. Now, I know you heard a lot of this on Rush's show, but I ask you to be patient with me because my angle on this is twofold. and I didn't really hear him focusing on this aspect of it, they're entirely trying to manipulate him away from the wall. Entirely. They'll agree to a lot of border security stuff. They will. They'll do that so that they can pretend to some of the border states, oh, look, no, we're trying with border security. We are. We're trying. We promise this, this, and this. But they'll still avoid funding the wall for the reasons I just outlined to you. They'll keep trying. Now, again, the president's going to try to see whatever means he has. Perhaps that's moving money from the military. Perhaps that's moving money from other aspects. I don't know. And all of that will be hashed out. It'll go to court. It'll be stopped. There'll be suit. I mean, the other part of this, too, is that there are going to be legal challenges that also stop this. So in some ways, the Democrats know they have to just delay this. Delay this. And maybe for some voters, if the money's there and the commitment's there, they're good. Right? They're good. They'll vote for him. He got it done. Even though it's not built yet, that's okay. It takes a long time to build a house. A wall's even bigger, so it's cool. But if there's no commitment for funding and there's no progress done, that's where the danger lies. I mean, Ann Coulter is, you know how I feel about her. I'm not a huge fan these days, but I think Ann Coulter probably speaks for at least some people where the wall is their biggest issue. For her, that was the entire issue for backing the president. And this, you know, going after him on Twitter constantly like she does about this issue tells me that there are at least enough people in that kind of thinking that feel how she feels. Well, it's just been a letdown. Well, it's no different than anybody else. Again, I got an email about it yesterday from a listener who also said he's not listening anymore. But if he is listening now, he would confirm that that's what he said yesterday in his email to me. So for Pelosi and Schumer, you have to stop the wall from being built or funded. So what does a government shutdown mean? Who gets the brunt of that? Well, I'm a big believer in the fact that the government could shut down. I'd be fine with it. I would be absolutely fine with the government shutting down. Shut it down, as far as I'm concerned. Shut it down for a number of reasons. Number one, the government is shut down all the time. Things are okay. We're fine. We really are. If the government shut down, we're not passing new laws. There's no new regulations going into place. I'm okay with this. I understand. Without life-saving regulations being put in place every day, the children might be at risk. I understand that, but I'm willing to take the risk. I'll take the risk. I also understand that if you are a non-essential employee, why are you suddenly essential when there's money to fund the government? That I can never understand. This government, in my mind, is way too big, way too vast, way too expensive, does way too many things. I was joking yesterday about the CDC and their warning about cookie dough. Don't eat raw cookie dough. The Centers for Disease Control. Don't eat raw cookie dough. Honestly, is that why we need a federal government? Is that really why we need a federal government? Are we funding the federal government so I can be told by my parents, the government, the nanny state, don't eat raw cookie dough? Really, that's why I'm paying all these taxes? So for me, from that perspective, if they said we have to cut 10% of the CDC's budget, we're going to lose the cookie dough warning division. I'm okay with that. I can live. I'll survive. We'll be fine. I'll make sure my kids don't eat raw cookie dough because I'll eat all of it. And I'll live as I have been living all of these years eating raw cookie dough. I'm okay with that. But the risk of shutting down the government, of course, is the blame factor. Who gets the blame? As long as two things happen, Social Security checks go out and the military makes sure we're not invaded by another country, then the Democrats will get the blame because the people that won't be working are the people that typically vote Democrat. Because the swamp, as it is, you look at Northern Virginia, you look at Maryland, you look at the Beltway area, the most expensive part of the country, those voters vote Democrat in big, big ways. And Democrats know this, so they know that the real political risk for them is having these voters ticked off at them. So they're having this meeting in the Oval Office. It's the president, it's the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and the future House Speaker, the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. And they're sitting around, they're chatting about the wall and the shutdown. I'll play you some audio from this. Now, a couple points here. Number one, transparency is off the table. That's the thing we know first and foremost. Transparency is off the table. And the Democrats now, they say that the president doesn't have the votes in the House over border wall because Republicans are not all in. Now, they may not be wrong on this point, but we'll never know that because a lot of Republicans are giant liars when it comes to this issue. But nevertheless, cut number one.
I think American people recognize that we must keep government open. That a shutdown is not worth anything, and that you should not have a Trump shutdown. You have them at the White House.
Oh, Trump.
You have the White House. You have the Senate. You have the House of Representatives. You have the votes. You should pass it.
No, we
right
don't have
now.
The votes, Nancy, because in the Senate we need 60 votes.
No, but in the House.
And we don't
you
have
could
it.
Bring it up right now.
Yeah, but I can't, excuse me, but I can't get it passed in the House if it's not going to pass in the Senate. I don't want to waste time.
Well, the fact is you can get it started that way.
The and House we could get passed very easily.
Okay,
and
then
we do. But
do
the problem is the Senate, because we need 10 Democrats to vote,
no,
and
no, that's
they
not
won't
the
vote.
Point, Mr. President. The point is that there are equities to be weighed. And we're here to have a conversation
correct.
In a prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate
correct.
In front of the press on this. But the fact is, the House Republicans could bring up this bill, if they had the votes, immediately, and set the tone for what you want.
By the way, isn't this interesting? So we should not be debating this in front of the press. And aren't Democrats the ones always whining about the First Amendment being taken away, that the freedom of the press is being trampled on and crushed in this country? Weren't they the ones who were going to have the debate over Obamacare televised on C-SPAN? Remember that big lie that never came true? Every minute of it will be debated on C-SPAN. C-SPAN 8, the Ocho. Never happened. And here we have the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, saying, oh, we shouldn't debate this in front of the press. They're going to report on this. And yet, Trump's the one shutting down the First Amendment. He's the one trampling on the rights of the press and the media. See, nobody will call her out on this, but me and you and us, but that's it. But really, today, Time Magazine, Person of the Year, dead journalists, imprisoned journalists, journalists who are bleeding everywhere around the earth because of Trump. That's the intent of the Person of the Year, People of the Year, whatever it is now, whatever politically correct thing it is. Now it's got to be Persons of the Year. It can't just be a person, the persons. So it's every journalist in an internment camp somewhere. But here's Pelosi literally saying, oh, let's not debate this in front of the cameras. We don't want the people to know what we're talking about here. Why not? Why not have that transparency? What are you afraid of? Well, two things. Number one, they think you're an idiot. They do. They think you're an idiot. You are not very smart. So you can't possibly keep up with the giant mental genius of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. She's been around a long time. And by long time, I mean eternity. So the vampiric one knows a lot more than you, she thinks. Number two, you can't have the transparency because they don't want the wall. But they don't want to come out and say they don't want the wall because the reason why they don't want the wall is because they think it's going to hurt Trump and his base. If they're caught saying that, or if the president and his campaign, he's had some very, very good campaign people working for him, were able to put an ad together and convince voters that, no, they literally tried to stop the wall. They literally tried to stop the wall. That was it. That was the whole goal here. And we caught him on tape talking about it, on camera talking about it. And the Democrats know that, too. So they're going, well, we can't debate this. And then the president says, I need 10 Democrats in the Senate. Give me 10 Democrats. Got to get the 60 votes for one of those giant spending bills. You need 60 votes. So give me the votes. Nope, you can't find 10 Democrats to go along with this. So she says, well, have the Republicans vote. Have the Republicans vote as a good start. You know why? So that the Democrats can all vote no, and the president can look like he couldn't get it done when the Republicans were in charge of the House. She's very, very strategic. You have to be an eternal walker of the night. So you, and I don't mean in a prostitute sense, I mean in an eternal, immortal, vampiric sense. So you've got to be very strategic. You got to know where the garlic is, where the priests are, where the nuns, where Mary Margaret's hiding with the holy water. Psh. So you got to be careful. You got to know a thing or two. You got to know where the cracks are, if you know what I mean. By cracks, I mean stakes to the heart. So you got to be very, very careful. Is that cut over, Greg, or is that still going?
No, and I rewound it just a little bit so we can hear her say about the press again.
All right, thank you.
And we're here to have a conversation in a prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this.
The kids shouldn't be watching this. It's like, you remember they used to say, don't fight in front of the children?
Yes.
You know? I mean, as parents, you always are mindful of that. Like, we should not be discussing this in front of the children right now. Honey, this is not a conversation to be had in front of Patrick and Claire right now. Can we talk about this later? Because they're impressionable. They might hear stuff. Ah, the kids are listening. Don't. Wait a minute. We'll go back. Go in behind the closed doors. I don't want them hearing this. Those little bastards. I don't want them hearing this. Go ahead, sorry, please.
And we're here to have a conversation in a prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this. But the fact is, the House Republicans could bring up this bill if they had the votes immediately and set the tone for what you want.
If we thought we were going to get it passed in the Senate, Nancy, we would do it immediately. We get it passed very easily in the House.
Nancy,
I'd have it passed in 2 seconds. It doesn't matter, though, because we can't get it passed in the Senate because we need 10 Democrat votes.
Well,
that's the problem.
Again, let us have our conversation, then we can meet with the press again. But the fact is that legislators...
But I don't want to do it in front of them.
You begin, you make
Let's go talk, and then we'll tell them what we want them to hear. Well, we want them to report. That's what she's saying, right?
You're right on. But he's very good with her.
He's very, very patient.
Yes.
And he's smart because the Secret Service can only do so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if she strikes, man.
Right. She can turn into a psh and the bite, and then she's out, and then everybody in the room. So he's very, very strategic in that sense.
Yeah, let us have our conversation, then we can meet with the press again. But the fact is...
Yeah, so let's go behind closed doors and do this in a smoke-filled room. And then come out and tell them what we want them to print. And they'll do it because they print everything I say. Word for freaking word. Don't print that word. And they won't. That's transparency right there. Very transparent. All right, continue.
But the fact is that legislating, which is what we do, you begin, you make your point, you state your case. That's what the House Republicans could do if they had the votes. But there are no votes in the House, a majority of votes, for a wall, no matter where you start.
That's exactly right. You don't have
to. Now, that's Chuck Schumer. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I can't get you 10 votes either. And I'm not even going to try. So don't worry about it, because the Democrat Party is entirely now all in on not having a wall. So that's exactly right. So wait, you can't get any Democrats? Nope, none. Not even Joe Manchin? Well, I don't know. I didn't ask him. What? Can you text him while we're here and ask him? Could you just do that for us? Anybody? I mean... Have you talked to anybody? Nope. I just know it. We can't do it. All right. Why are we here? Is it for snacks? Is that why, for snacks? So now is Chuck Schumer, now the Senate Minority Leader, continuing where the vampiric one left off. Cut two.
If I needed the votes for the wall in the House, I would have them in one session.
Well,
would be
do
done.
It. Go do it.
It doesn't help because we need 10 Democrats in
no,
the
don't
Senate.
Don't put it on the Senate. Put it
of
on.
Course.
Put it on the negotiation.
Okay, let me ask you this. And we're doing this in a very friendly manner. It doesn't help for me to take a vote in the House where I will win easily with the Republicans.
You will not win.
It doesn't help to take that vote because I'm not going to get the vote of the Senate.
The Senate.
I need 10 senators. That's
Mr.
the
President,
problem.
You have the White House. You have the Senate.
I have the White House. The White House is done. And the House would give me the vote if I wanted it. But I can't because I need, Nancy, I need 10 votes from Chuck.
All right, let me say something here.
Let me just say one thing. The fact is...
Chuck, shut up. Zip it, Chucky.
I do. And we need border security. Nancy, we need border security. It's very simple.
Of course we do.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people. Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm. We need the wall. We need, more important than anything, we need border security, of which the wall is just a piece. But it's important.
Now, the president is doing a great job of talking to them and having a conversation, which, again, they don't want to hear because they want to paint him as a caricature of a guy who's crazy and, you know, this temper, and he can't focus and he can't have a conversation. That's what they try to do, is a stereotype, right? So part of the reason why they want the camera shut off is because as Donald Trump is talking to them, he sounds like a very level-headed adult. Now, you can agree with him or disagree with him. But he's not spacing out, and he's not drooling, and he's not doing any of the other things they accuse him of doing. He's not sitting there and Pence isn't moving his back like a puppet. But they want you to think that. That's what they always talk about. So the press are in there, and she keeps saying, get the press out of the room. Get him out. We don't want this on camera with you seeming reasonable and having a conversation. Also, it goes against the idea that he's this totalitarian dictator. Why does he even need the legislature? I thought he was a fascist. I thought he was going to steamroll in and do whatever he wanted. So here's the president negotiating with them, the House and the Senate, sitting there looking very reasonable as he talks with them about what he as the president of the United States wants, what his agenda is. And the two of them keep jumping in with their little nonsense, and the nonsense is get these people out of the room so they can't see you looking reasonable and sounding reasonable. We got to go back to telling them you're crawling under your desk and hiding, looking out for Robert Mueller, and you're also insane. So we have to keep saying that about you. That's a big part of it as well. And he's not a totalitarian fascist dictator, because if he was, Pelosi and Schumer would be in handcuffs right now. He would have dissolved the legislature, declared martial law, and he's not doing any of those things, even though they kept telling you he would. So Nancy Pelosi was describing the meeting with the president and senior House Democrats, and two senior House Democrats, and according to Ed O'Keefe, who is the White House guy for CBS News, he said the following. Nancy Pelosi told senior House Dems, quote, "Chuck is really shouting out. I was trying to be the mom. I can't explain it to you. It was so wild. It goes to show you, you get into a tickle contest with a skunk, you get tinkle all over you." By the way, has anyone ever gotten into a tickle contest with a skunk? Has anyone ever done this before? Sounds like a terrible analogy.
Is she saying that she peed her pants?
I think so. Like, what? You tickle a skunk?
What?
Hey, look, a skunk. Let's go tickle him, Pepe Le Pew. I've never heard that. Have you ever heard that?
Never heard that expression.
And she says, "I was trying to be the mom." The mom. So there you go with that visual right there.
Or she's saying, mom.
The eternal mom.
"I was trying to be the mom. I can't explain it to you. It was so wild. It goes to show you, if you get into a tickle contest with a skunk, you get tinkle all over you." By the way, that phrase was very popular in the year 1318.
It's true.
When they did.
Maybe she's saying Chuck wet himself.
I don't know what she's saying.
Rich,
that's an excellent point. She takes terminology from a time that we're not familiar with. You're right.
So, yeah,
to give her a break.
The kids were all saying this in 712 A.D. We don't cuddle with skunks anymore. We should, though. I'm telling you about it. The kids in France were all happy back then. They didn't protest back then. In 718, she also said it's like a manhood thing for him, as if manhood could ever be associated with him. This wall thing. Yeah, she's calling out Trump's manhood. It's very mature. You know, for being eternal, she's not very mature.
True.
I'm just saying, not very mature. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. By the way, you remember Pool Patrol Paula? She pleaded guilty today to assaulting a black teen at a pool. I'll talk about this a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about that. That was when they had all these adults. Remember, there's Prohibition Patty. Actually, she's on this show. There's a number of adults who were calling the cops on people.
Corner store, something or other.
Yeah. So Pool Patrol Paula pleading guilty to assaulting a black teen at a pool. We'll talk about that. Let's take some calls on this. 855-839-1210. President, showing people he's not a dictator, he's not a fascist, and he's a reasonable guy trying to have a conversation with them. Meanwhile, you should see Chuck Schumer on the couch looking incredibly frustrated. Nancy Pelosi leaves the office and says, he's not a man. There's no manhood there. But it'll be reported that he's the one who's juvenile and immature, because that's what happens with the media in this country. Dave is in Satterton. Dave, how are you, sir?
Good, Rich. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Here's what I found interesting in that one clip you played. Nancy Pelosi was explaining to President Trump how things work in the House. You go ahead and take the vote. If you have the votes in the House, go ahead and take the votes, and that'll give a signal for what you want to do. How stupid is she? Everybody knows what he wants to do. He says to her, "I don't have the votes in the Senate. It's a waste of time." He's looking at this. He's running this like it's Trump Industries. It's a business. It's a waste of his time to do anything like that. She wants it on C-SPAN for the public to see so that they can say, "Oh, look at the way they stood up to Trump and the border wall." That's all it is politics. He's running this thing like it's part of a business, and it's just a waste of time. Give me the 10 votes, Chuck. I'll have this thing passed tomorrow. We can move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and they won't ever give him the 10 votes because, again, they just don't want to give him the wall. They can't. They won't. They just never will.
No, but I think if he would, if that is not indicative of the two disparate mindsets in politics right now. One is, let's get it done. Give me the votes I need to get it done. The other is, no, let's do this in the political way that we're used to doing it so that we look good and you look bad.
Yes, but the problem for him politically in 2020 is that they said, well, you were going to be different and you were going to get the votes and you were going to negotiate and you couldn't do that. And that's why there's no wall. That's what they're setting him up for. That's
Absolutely.
The real reason why they won't take a vote in the House, because and look, I'm not so sure taking a vote in the House is a good idea for them either. I don't really know what she's pushing for here. I don't know why it looks good for Democrats to be on record voting against the wall. I don't know what that is. I think it's more about making some Republicans be on record for voting for the wall, I guess. But I don't really understand the political strategy, you know?
I think it's for her constituents, Rich. I honestly do. I think her constituents want to see her vote against it. She's got everybody in line to vote against it. I don't think there would be any, not one, Democrat that would look at her and say, look, I need to vote for this or I'm going to lose the next election cycle. I think she's got everybody in line, vote against it, make it look like he cannot work across the aisle, and that sets him up to lose in the next election.
Thank you for That's the call, opinion. Dave. I appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. But look, I mean, it shows you that for the Democrats, they understand how important the issue of the wall is for him politically speaking. And again, you know, I look at this as they're playing a game, a complete game on this, to try to make it seem as if, oh, we were willing to work with him on this, but he couldn't get it done. They say he can't get it done. He's just like another politician. They're reading Ann Coulter's tweets, and they're acting from that perspective. They think Ann Coulter speaks for you, so that if it looks like he can't get it done, and she is representative of Trump's base, then they have nothing to worry about. You take what Ann Coulter's been tweeting. How dumb does this guy think he is? Think we are? How dumb does he think we are? The idea that he started the wall. We know he hasn't started the wall. They look at that. And they have little, you know, Democratic operatives rushing in the room going, look at what Ann Coulter's tweeting. And they think, oh, you see now, this is how we get him. This is how we get him. Somebody's running into right now one of the Democrats' offices with this story from rawstory.com. Does he think his supporters are dumb? Ann Coulter lashes out at Trump for lying about having built the wall. And they say, you know, she was with him from day one. This is his base. And if this is any indication of where the rest of the base is going, he's toast in 2020. Now, Ann Coulter doesn't speak for me, and I doubt she speaks for you. But she may speak for enough people in a close election where it could be problematic for the president. Which is why he has to get the wall done. Politically speaking, he has to get it done. And he knows that. And I'll tell you, a shutdown over the government won't hurt him politically. Not getting the wall built in 2020 could hurt him politically. Maybe not with you, and it's certainly not going to hurt it with me, because it's not my issue. But there are enough people who may look at this and say, you're just another politician. You couldn't get it done. You couldn't negotiate. You couldn't do it. And if there's enough of them, 10,000 here, 10,000 there, I'm not talking about millions of people. I'm talking about a small number of people. Then politically speaking, that's very, very problematic, especially if the economy is not gangbusters in 2020. And who can predict? I can't. We have no idea what's coming down the pike. Nobody can. But what they're thinking is they look at this, they read Ann Coulter's tweets, and they say, this is how we do it. We're not going to get him through Mueller. We're not going to get him through this nonsense of campaign collusion with Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. But we may be able to stop him with this. And they'll make this their Alamo. And the president has to find a way to get around them on this. 855-839-1210. Unfortunately, though, there are a lot of Republicans that wouldn't mind seeing him gone, which is why if there was a vote in the House, I'm not so sure how many Republicans would go along with it. So I think a lot of Republicans think the exact same thing. This is their chance to stop him, too. So the Democrats are calculating on that. They're calculating on enough of the Ann Coulter types not being there in 2020. That's their strategy. That's their strategy. If you look at it from the perspective of it's now going into 2019, so the election year begins next year, we are going to watch the Democratic primary unfold. Thank God, because it's going to be wonderful to watch. It really is. We're going to watch all of them grandstanding. Bernie Sanders and Count Grandstangela and all of them. The guy from Colorado, Hickenlooper. Yes, all of them. They'll all be running. Beto O'Rourke, the rock star, if he's in. And we're going to watch them go to Iowa and go to New Hampshire and go to all the places, and they're going to run, and there's no front runner. You know, unlike 2016, where clearly Hillary Clinton was the front runner, and Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley were just, you know, I mean, Martin O'Malley was barely even there, but this is an open race, truly. You know, if Joe Biden runs, Joe Biden may have some support among superdelegates, but I don't think Joe Biden has a lot of support among the base of the wacky Democratic Party these days. I don't think in Brooklyn or San Francisco they really give two damns about what Joe Biden thinks. And that's where we get into the fun of watching all this. Who's going to out-left each other? And on the issue of the wall, they are all going to be against it. They will all be against the wall because they have to be in a primary. They have to, in the primary, win their base. I've always said this now. The base in the Democratic Party wants to see ICE go away. There's sanctuary for all and on. So certainly no wall. This is not the same Democratic Party we're dealing with from 15, 20 years ago. People say, yeah, the Democrats, so they voted for the wall, a bunch of hypocrites. Well, they did, but those voters are gone. The ones who wanted to see that, they're not voting for them. The voters now in Brooklyn and San Francisco in the primary, they want to see Democrats denounce Trump for his position on the wall and on ICE and everything else. They're the people that want the refugees to be center stage of the Democratic National Convention. And maybe they will be. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing. Even if they have the hate chicken again at their Democratic National Convention, that would not surprise me either. But the one thing I do know is this. I know that for them, they are going into 2020 and they're very scared. Trump's base is still there with him, despite everything. They thought it would be gone by now, but it's still there. You know, some guy sends me a note. He says, IQ 45, I guess that's his smart little way of saying the president, told everybody Mexico is paying for the wall. No mention of that from your disingenuous, bigoted mouth. Okay. Well, I'm probably one of the least bigoted people you'll ever meet in your life, but that's fine. Call me whatever you want. Yes, the president did say that. His base doesn't care. They don't care if Mexico pays for the wall. They just want the wall. That's it. They just want the wall built. If Mexico pays, if he pays, if you, that's all they want is the wall. They've given him a pass on that. And the Democrats can't understand it. They can't believe it. They're still sticking by him with Mueller and everything else. And now they're betting on the calculation that if there is no wall built, whether Mexico pays for it or the United States pays for it, if it's just not there, then that's how the president can lose enough of his base where they can make inroads in those states and pick up the White House in 2020. That's their strategy.
Rich Cioli, 3 till 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.